Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
So this morning, I want to preach a message entitled Reset. Reset. As we jump into the new year, as the year kind of resets back at January, we start back at month one on the calendar, and we take a time to kind of reset, reflect on our life. Maybe we make some resolutions, some things. And so as we move into the new year, I do want to say it's good to have my mom and Lee here with us. My mom is here visiting for New Year. We got to celebrate together. Can we just welcome them real quick? Thank you for... She could have left yesterday or left early this morning, but they decided to stay to listen to me preach. So hopefully it's good. So this New Year time is a good time for reset. You know, I was doing a little bit of research as I was preparing for this message about traditions that people around the world do at New Year as they kind of reset, as they plan for their New Year. And I found some pretty interesting traditions that people will do. Maybe you have some traditions that you do at New Year's, but here's a couple of things. In Spain, people will eat exactly 12 grapes at the stroke of midnight. This is a tradition that started back in the 19th century, and it was really started as a practice by grape growers to get people to eat more grapes at the beginning of the year. But it became a tradition that hopefully after midnight, the 12 grapes at the 12 bell strikes of New Year would ward off bad luck and bring about good fortune and prosperity. Italians have a New Year tradition. This one's really interesting, of wearing red underwear on December the 31st. In Italian culture, the color red is associated with fertility, so people wear it under their clothes in hopes that it will help them to be productive in the new year. In Chile, New Year's Eve mass ceremonies are not held in their churches, but instead in cemeteries. This gives them a change of scenery and a time to sit with deceased family members and include them in their New Year's Eve festivities. In Denmark, people take pride in the number of broken dishes that are outside their door by the end of New Year's Eve. So it's a Danish tradition to throw china plates at your neighbor's front door on New Year's Eve. It's a means of leaving aggression and ill will behind and looking forward to a new year that begins. And it's said that the bigger pile of broken dishes that are outside of your door, the more luck and prosperity you will have in the upcoming year. In Ecuador, New Year's Eve celebrations get lit. Literally, they light bonfires at this, and in the center of these bonfires, they will create straw men, and they are supposed to represent things from the prior year that they're getting rid of. And they're warding off all the bad things from the past 12 months and making room for the new to come. In Greece, people will smash pomegranates on their door as a sign of good fortune. And they will also hang onions outside of their front door to promote growth and development in the new year. These are all pretty interesting. There's many more around the world. In New York, I'm sure you're familiar with the ball drop that happens every New Year's Eve in New York. But there's another one that I found more interesting in New York. They sell these little peppermint pigs. Has anybody ever been to New York around New Year's and seen the peppermint pigs? Anybody? So they sell these little peppermint pigs in the store, or maybe some people will make them. But at New Year, they take these peppermint pigs and they smash them. What is it about smashing things on New Year? I don't know. But if you ever find yourself in New York around New Year's, you can maybe enjoy smashing a peppermint pig and looking forward to the new year and the good luck that it may bring. These traditions are funny and interesting, but I am very glad that I'm not relying on smashing a pig or plates or pomegranates or any of these things to bring me the things that I need in my new year. And I look towards the Lord who does all of those things for me. And as I was thinking about the new year and a new beginning and as a reset, I wanted to take a stroll back for a moment into the original story of the beginning. I want us to turn to Genesis this morning, chapter 1, and I know probably many of you have most of it probably memorized or know the gist of it, but this morning I wanted to take a dive into Genesis and looking at the Garden of Eden, looking at the beginning, looking at the original start, and I wanted to take a moment to look through the plan that God has for us, not just for that beginning, but for every beginning for us. As a matter of fact, we'll see throughout the story of the Bible and throughout history, we see the imagery of Eden repeated throughout Scripture. We see the historical account of Eden replay over and over again throughout history and throughout our life. So as we look at Genesis 1, let's read it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said the famous words, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the first day. And so what we'll do is we'll break up the chapter a little bit just for brevity, and then we'll go back and talk through this beginning, the original beginning. As we think about new beginnings and new years, we'll go back and read through these different parts of Genesis and how it applies to us even still today, thousands of years later. And then we'll jump to verse 11. And then God said, "Let the lands produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with the seed in it according to their kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And then jumping to verse 20, and God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." Verse 24, and God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that make steak, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them, in case there was any confusion there. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds and the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you all these things, every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with the seed that they bear, and they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every plant for food. And it was so. So as we look at this pattern, the things that God has created, this mountain garden, this place to be productive and fruitful, to multiply in, a place of rest, a place of provision, a place to walk with God, a place for humans to partner together, a place for humans to rule and to reign in His image, not to have any idols. There were no images in the garden. Why? Because we are the image. We are the image of God. They didn't have to create any images because we are the image of God. This is a pattern in Genesis, the pattern in Eden. We see the world over and over and over again throughout the Word of God. A lot of the poetry that we find in Scripture points back to this Garden of Eden. A lot of the patterns that we see in the early tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, they were set up as representations of Eden, this place where God would meet with man, where God would connect with man, a place that was filled with images of heavenly creatures. We see in the tabernacle and the temple, they had images of these heavenly creatures that would guard the garden. These same creatures are found on the curtains of the temple and the tabernacle. The box that would hold the Ark of the Covenant, it was covered in pomegranates and covered in imagery of trees and plants like were found in the garden. This was a place that God would meet with people, a place that we would see mentioned like in the Promised Land, where the Israelites would go to after they left slavery in Egypt, a place that was a garden that was flowing with milk and honey. And then all the way through to Revelation, we see it described, even as God would create a new heaven and a new earth that we could live with Him for eternity, in a place that we could live and not die, experience no tears and no pain, no death. As we talk about new beginnings and resetting and restarting our lives, I want us to remember the first important thing is that God is the creator of the beginning. There is no beginning without God. There is no creation without God. And for us to think of a new year and a new start and a new beginning, we can't do those things without God. I know many people try to. Some of the stories that we read about these New Year's traditions around the world and even here, sometimes people try to replace God with superstitions, with traditions, with religious practices. But there is no beginning without God. There is no creation without God. I've heard a powerful sermon preached, and it starts with, in the beginning, God. And maybe some of you have heard a sermon like that, where in the beginning of everything, you put God first. That's because without God, there is no everything else. There is no creation. There is no new beginning. There is no productive mountain garden. There is no place to be productive and fruitful and multiply. There is no place to have rest. There's no place to receive provision. There's no place to walk with God. There's no place for us to partner together without the Creator of the beginning. As we see, as we continue to read the story of Genesis, we see what happens. God has placed man and woman in the garden, in the center of the garden, to take care of the fruit and the plants and the animals and the fish and the birds and all the stuff, right? And he's given them all these things to have. He's given them all these things for their provision. He's given them all these things to take care of, this work to do together for man and woman to partner together and to walk with God in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day. He's given them all these things. And then something happens. They want a little bit more, right? They find that there's this one tree in the garden that they're not supposed to touch. They're not supposed to eat the fruit from, the knowledge of good and evil. And that little lie begins to creep in from the serpent, right? From the imagery that we see in Genesis, the imagery that we see in Eden, it's depicted as a serpent, but it's the lie, be more than what you are right now. And God knows you could be more than what you are right now. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to take his place. He doesn't want you to set yourself up to be like him. Come on, you can just take that fruit. It's good to eat. It's going to give you the ability to be like God, but God doesn't want you to be like him. That's the lie that creeps in, that God's holding you back from something, that he's holding you back from something that could be a little bit better than what you already have, or that God doesn't want you to have any fun, or God just doesn't know what you're going through. He just doesn't know what you're all about. Maybe that lie begins to creep in. So we see in the garden that rebellion begins to take place. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against his plan. Rebellion against his creation. Rebellion against his beginning. And we see Adam and Eve, they take from the fruit of the tree and they eat. And they begin to be filled with shame. They begin to be filled with shame to the point that now they have to hide themselves from one another, and they hide themselves, more importantly, from the Creator. They hide themselves from God. They begin to hide themselves in the garden. And God comes and he's walking in the garden, looking to walk with them, but they hide themselves from him. And he points out to them that they're hiding from him. And he asks, where are you? You're hiding from me. Or you think you're hiding from me. The God who created all of these things, of course, sees and knows beyond what we can see and know. See, God blessed them. He gave them a Sabbath, a day for rest. He took them and put them in the garden and began to walk and talk with them in the garden. He gave them parameters and boundaries to grow and to be fruitful and to multiply. He gave them parameters and boundaries to be rulers and reigning with him. I brought the plant back from last week that Pastor Tim used. If you were here last week, or maybe you watched online, or if you haven't, I would encourage you to go back and watch the message online. The plant, because God wants us to rule and reign where he plants us. He wants us to be productive where he plants us. And God has placed them in the garden to be planted, to rule and to reign with him, to take control and take care of the garden. But instead, they rebel against God. They rebel against him. And they begin to hide themselves from God. They separate themselves from God. God calls them out. And then he makes a covering of clothes for them. But because they rebelled against them and sin now has entered into their world, sin has entered into the garden, they can't stay in the garden any longer, and they get put outside. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I have not done the right things. There are times whenever I've not said the right things or not treated people the right way, and I needed a reset. I needed a reset. Or maybe you you have to use electronics or equipment on a regular basis? Anybody have a computer that you use on a regular basis or some sort of electronic device that you use on a regular basis? One thing I learned early when trying to learn how to work on electronics was the first thing that you always do is to do what? Turn it off and start it back over, right? To reset it. Sometimes it just needs a reset. Sometimes the computer just needs to be reset. Our phone sometimes needs to be reset. Sometimes that machine, it just needs to be reset. And the same thing is true for us. Sometimes we just need a reset button that we can just reset and start over. Maybe in relationships, maybe with family members, maybe just in the way that we're living our life, and maybe sometimes we just need a reset with God. And so this morning, I want us to think about that. I want us to think about our reset as we start the new year. So let's take a moment. I want you to close your eyes with me. I want you to think about this year. As you're starting new, starting over January, the beginning of this year, is there anything from 2024 that you don't want to bring with you? Anything that you want to be reset from? Maybe as we start 2025, you have been living in rebellion against God. Maybe you have not decided to submit to God's plan and God's purpose, to God's boundaries, to God's fruitfulness, to God's productivity, to God's ruling and reigning in your life, and you've decided to rebel and try to do things your own way or on your own. And this morning, we just need to just do a reset. And you say, today, I want to let some things go from 2024, or maybe today, I want to start my life over with God starting today. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, today I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're in the room and you say, Pastor John, I have not been following God the way that I should. I haven't been living within His boundaries, His parameters, His purpose and plan for my life. I haven't been fruitful or productive in the way that God wants me to because I've rebelled against Him. I've tried to do it my own way. And today I need to reset. Today I need a reset with God. And I want to start today following Him, following His purpose and plan for my life, following His boundaries, being fruitful and productive with the plans that He has for me, and stop living in rebellion against Him. Stop living my life my own way. If that's you, nobody looking around, no music playing, no atmospheric thing to make you feel emotional, just today I need to reset with God. Today I just want to quit rebelling against Him and do what He wants me to do. If that's you, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. Today, I just want you to pray. Today, I just want you to get it right with God. Today, I just want you to reset. So I'm going to pray out loud, but I want you to pray in your heart to yourself, maybe loud enough that you can hear it yourself, or maybe not. But I want you to pray your own prayer. And it doesn't have to be some elaborate words. It just needs to be, God, I've been rebelling against You. I've been trying to do it my own way, but today I need a reset. Today I want to let that stuff go and I want to live within Your purpose, Your plan, Your parameters, Your boundaries. I want to be fruitful and productive with what You have for me. Let's pray. God, we thank You today that You love us so much that You are the creator of everything, that You created us to walk with us, to talk with us, to have relationship with us. You created us to live within parameters and boundaries that You have for us so that we can be productive, so that we can be fruitful, so that we can multiply, so that we can rule and reign with You, so that we can bear Your image, so that we can be like You. But God, we ask You to forgive us today when we try to do it on our own, when we try to do it our own way, when we rebel against Your plans for us. God, we ask You to help us to reset today, to start over, to have a new beginning with You. Starting now, all the old stuff can be gone. Your word tells us that You will take all of our sins and cast them as far away as the east is from the west, where there is no beginning and there is no end. It's just gone. And God, today we want to walk in that forgiveness. We want to walk in that freedom. We want to walk in a restart and a reset with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we decide to reset, as we decide to plant our life with God, like Pastor Tim talked about last week, growing deeper where you're planted, ruling and reigning with Him, as we decide to do that, as we decide to go forward, we see that the only way that we can have a new beginning is because God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. That He would be what we sing about at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. Again, it's kind of back to that imagery of Eden in the garden, right? Jesus points back to that imagery where God is with man and the garden together, and they're fruitful and they're multiplying, and there's no sickness and there's no sin and all those things. And so we see Jesus come to earth to be born in a manger, to be God with us. Heaven now connected with earth again, so that we don't have to live in sin, so that we don't have to live in sickness, so we don't have to live in death. But instead, now we have resurrection into new life. We see Jesus dying on the cross for us and then raising into new life. It just gives us the hope in knowing that even as we may die, we can have the opportunity to resurrect into new life with Him. And ultimately, we see the promises of the new heaven and a new earth that will come to pass, as we see in the book of Revelation. So I know in the new world that we live in now, we celebrate the new year in January, right? The calendar that was edited by the Romans started celebrating the new year in January, and based off this 12-month cycle that we have. But just a quick little bit of history, in case you are interested in historical type things. Some people that really connects with them. Some other people are like, don't tell me about the history, just tell me about it right now. So in the biblical narrative, we see the new year starting maybe March or April. And it could be March or it could be April, because the cycle is based on, does anybody know? The moon and the harvest cycles, the planting and harvest cycles. So their calendar was based mainly on the lunar cycles. And when the new moon took place, it was in March or April, depending on the year. So their calendar would start over in that time frame. And they would celebrate with a big festival, a big feast. Anybody know which feast that is? The Passover. The Passover festival, the Passover feast. And so as the Israelites are getting their new start, they're getting their reset from Egypt as slaves, they're getting their restart into freedom and into going off to worship the Lord in the wilderness. We see them leaving out of Egypt in this March to April time frame, and God says, this is to be your new year. This is to be the time that you celebrate the Passover every year. This is the time where you will take the lamb and you will take the unleavened bread and you'll have a Passover festival for a week and celebrate the new year. Celebrate this restart that I'm giving you out of slavery and into my freedom, into my plans for your life, into the promised land, right? So God was giving them the opportunity to return to an Eden-like situation where they would go to this land that was this big garden that was flowing with milk and honey, right? That's the picture we get of the promised land as the Israelites leave Exodus, as they leave Egypt. So the Passover is really this huge New Year celebration. So remember that when we get to Passover this year, that you can start your New Year celebrations then. So the second thing that I want to talk to us about, the second point this morning, is that God brings order and provision from nothing. From nothing. So we see at this beginning, God creates the heaven and earth from nothing. Nothing going on there. In Genesis 1:26, we see that God says, "Let us make mankind in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures moving along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." In other words, he's giving them all the provision that they need for their life. He's giving them all the things that they need to sustain life, and not only to sustain life, but to be fruitful, to be productive in life. And God brings all of that to them out of nothing. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that seem like there's no way out. Sometimes we find ourselves facing things that seem almost impossible. But we have to remind ourselves that even in the midst of situations that we may not even be able to overcome by ourselves, that God creates order and provision from nothing. He doesn't need anything to give us what we need. He doesn't need to start with anything to give us what we need to be successful. He doesn't need anything to give us what we need to have provision. He doesn't need anything to give us what we need to have a way of escape. Maybe you've heard it said that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. The Bible tells us that God makes paths through the seas and through the wilderness. We see Moses and the Israelites experience that. They find themselves at a dead-end path, right into the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, and God opens up the waters. Where there seems to be no way, God makes a way. You know, some world religions, they tell a story of gods who create the world out of chaos, or they create the world out of this huge battle, and they may kill another creature and create the world out of the insides of that creature. Maybe you're familiar with some other world religions that would have teachings in this way, where they create where a god would create the world out of disorder and out of chaos. But I'm thankful this morning that I don't serve a God who needs disorder, who needs chaos, but I serve a God who creates from nothing. Who creates and gives provision and gives order out of nothing. Because he's just that good. John chapter 1, maybe you have heard this or memorized this in the past. It's kind of a New Testament telling of the Genesis story. But as Jesus comes into the world, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then it tells about John the Baptist. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone." See, he's talking about Jesus, who is the light of the world, who was there before the beginning when there was just nothing but them. Nothing but the word to be spoken, to give light, to give seas, to give air, to give land, to give creatures, to give the breath of life to us. And we think many times that we have to be able to live on this earth, to be productive on this earth in our own strength, in our own resources, and the things that we have within ourselves. But I want to remind us this morning that God brings provision from nothing. He doesn't need our strength, right? He doesn't need our talents and our gifts, that He can make a way out of nothing. That He can give the provision that we need out of nothing. Now, He gives each and every one of us different gifts, different talents, different things to do, because He's placed us here to be His image, to rule and reign with Him, to be productive. But when we find ourselves in situations that we don't know how we're going to handle, when we find ourselves in things that we think that we have to get through on our own strength, on our own guts, to bring glory to ourselves, we find ourselves in really rebellion against God, because we're living in arrogance, thinking that we can do it ourselves, thinking that we can make a way where there is no way. But it's God who does that. It's God who gives us the strength. It's God who gives us the provision that we need. Just like He created the plants and the animals, the birds, the fish, all of the things, He does those things for us. And He gives those things to us. The last point that I want to talk about this morning is kind of a declaration for us. And I want to give some resources to help walk this out. But this declaration that I want us to say together is this: I will walk in God's presence and forgiveness. Would you say that with me on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. I will walk in God's presence and forgiveness. See, in Genesis 3:8, we see that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what did they do? They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to them, "Where are you?" This morning I want to challenge us to not be people who are hiding from God, but instead to be people who are walking in His presence. See, God was walking in the garden as He was accustomed to doing with man and woman. He was used to walking in the garden with them, to talking in the garden with them, to listening to the goofy names that they gave animals like a platypus. He was used to walking with them and talking with them and ruling and reigning in the garden with them. But somehow they let the little lies creep in, the lies of the enemy that led to rebellion, that led to sin. But I want to challenge us for 2025 to be people who restart. Who restart and say, I will walk with God's presence and in forgiveness. Because the good thing about God's restart is that He sent His Son so that we could be forgiven of all of our unrighteousness, of all of our sin, of all of our mistakes, of all of our rebellion. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin so that we could live in forgiveness. So some practical things as we wrap up this morning. As we walk in God's presence, there are some things that we need to build into our patterns of life, some habits that we need to build into our life to walk in God's presence. The first thing that we need is to spend time in His Word, spend time in Scripture. Now, these patterns, these things that I'm going to share with you, they're probably elementary. But that's because all the building blocks are basic. They're all basic things. The problem is we get away from them. We let things slip and slide. We let busyness get in our way. We let worries get in our way. We let the lies of the enemy creep in. But if we'll refocus and reset, we can walk in God's presence and in His forgiveness by spending time in His Scripture, by spending time in prayer. Again, this 21 days of prayer and fasting, you don't want to miss out on that, and you don't want to not participate. It's always a great time at the beginning of the year to reset, to refocus in that. Spend time in worship. There's a lot of noise in the world around us. A lot of media around us. A lot of music around us that we can listen to. A lot of things that we can give attention to. It's easy for us to give attention to status or to give attention to need, to give attention to money, to give attention to looks, to give attention to all these things. You know what the things are that gets your attention. But ultimately, we have to spend time giving God our attention, to giving God glory and honor in what we call worship. I want to challenge you, if you're not spending time worshiping the Lord with the way that you live, the music that you listen to, things that you say, the way that you treat people, the way that you work, this is a great time to reset and to let worship be part of your lifestyle. Maybe you need to incorporate more music in your life that glorifies God. Spending some time maybe on your car ride to and from work where the things that you're doing in your car is listening to music that's lifting up the Lord. I know as a young Christian that some powerful times in my relationship with God was just driving in my car, putting on music that I could sing at the top of my lungs to and worship the Lord. Sometimes those songs were songs of joy to the Lord. Sometimes they were songs of lament for the way that I had lived, the way that I had treated people, the things that I had done, living in a lifestyle of worship. Another way that we walk in the presence of the Lord is by fellowshipping with one another. I know in December, the month was all about together, right? We spent the whole month preaching a series about doing life together. And that has to be part of who we are, that we fellowship with other people. Why? Because we are His image, right? We are the image of God. We as humans are the image of God, and when we spend time with one another, it can be part of spending time with God. Serving other people. Serving other people. Because that is one thing that God does better than anyone else, is to serve us whenever we need Him. He served us best by sending His Son to die on a cross for us, to pay our penalty. And as we serve one another, here's the last building block to walking in His presence, is sharing the gospel. Because He didn't call us just to be like trees that will be planted in the garden that just were there to look pretty. But those trees that were planted in the garden, what did it say over and over again? They would reproduce in their own kind, right? The seeds would replant and remake new trees in that same kind. And so if we are walking in God's presence, if we are His followers, then we are also supposed to reproduce the same kind of followers of Jesus that we are. And we can't do that without sharing the gospel with people around us. We can't do that without telling people about who he is in our life and then bringing them along in a discipleship pattern to see what it looks like to follow Jesus. This is how we walk in God's presence. So here's a couple of resources for you I'll put on the screen. Here's a couple of Bible resources. If you say, Pastor John, I have a Bible, I just need some help with a plan on how to read it or something like that, you can take a picture of this screen if you want to, or write it down, or whatever will help you. Or maybe you already are using some of these resources. So here's a couple of websites and apps and things. BibleGateway.com is a basic online way to read the Bible. If you're on your computer, you can use BibleGateway.com. There's some Bible study tools on there as well. Bible.com or the YouVersion Bible app. This is the way that I spend the most time with God's Word. One of the ways that I spend the most time with God's Word is with the YouVersion Bible app. I love it because there are Bible reading plans for a few days, for a few months, or even a Bible reading plans to help you stay on track throughout the whole year. There are Bible reading plans that have devotionals built into them as well, if you need some extra resources and things like that on there. So this is my number one recommendation if you like of how should I read the Bible if you don't have any place else to start. The YouVersion Bible app is my number one recommendation for that. Go back to that slide. One is the Bible Project. The Bible Project. Can you go back to that slide real quick? So the Bible Project. So the Bible Project is either my second or my tied way that I interact with the Bible the most. So the Bible Project has an app, website, YouTube, videos. They also have podcasts. And so it's my favorite podcast, any podcast that I listen to, the Bible Project podcast. So if you're a podcast person, you're looking for a new podcast, you've never connected with the Bible Project podcast, I would highly recommend that as a tool to add to your Bible engagement time. They create short YouTube videos that really give a lot of depth in a short period of time as well. So if you're looking for a quick something to help you understand something in the Bible more, I would recommend that you check out. You can also get that through the app, but if you're on YouTube, it's a great YouTube channel for you to subscribe to if you're like one of those YouTube subscriber people. The Bible Project is a great one. And then the one that my wife likes better is the Bible Recap. The Bible Recap. So I listen to her podcast sometimes as well, but you can check them out on thebiblerecap.com. They also have printed devotionals if you're like into like print stuff. I'm not, but maybe you like to have the feel of paper in your hand. That is a good one for you, thebiblerecap.com. Check that out. They also have YouTube videos and a podcast as well. Right Now Media, the church subscribes to Right Now Media. It's basically like the YouTube of Bible studies. So if you haven't received a connection point for the Right Now Media, I can send you an email with our login. The church already pays for that as a resource. We use it a lot of times for our small group curriculum and stuff like that. But if you would like access to that personally and you haven't got that yet, shoot me a text or email. My email is john@lifechurchal.com, or let me know before you leave today and I'll try to shoot you an email with the link to Right Now Media if you're interested in that. And the last quick thing is Bible Engagement Project. They have a bunch of family devotionals, a bunch of devotional stuff on there. We also use Bible Engagement Project for some of our children's church lessons. So it's really very valuable stuff. So that's to connect you with Scripture. If you're struggling connecting with Scripture, these are a couple of resources for you. The next part is prayer. So I want to go over a prayer model with us real quick for prayer, and then I want to give you just a couple websites as well for some prayer connection points. So this prayer model is one that I think is like a universal prayer model to help us to pray better And this is the Lord's Prayer. You've probably heard it called the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And so this is part of that kind of Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching people how to be a disciple, how to follow him. What does it mean to be a Jesus follower on earth as it is in heaven? That's where you probably, this is where you're going to hear that from in Matthew chapter 6. So this is the Lord's Prayer when he says, this is how you should pray. And Matthew 6, 9, it says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Probably you've heard this prayer before. Maybe some of you have memorized it. So this first part is about worship and honor and glory to God. It's about acknowledging who he is. Now, this is a breakdown. You'll notice I've got some extra notes in here. This is not straight from Scripture. I have some extra notes on the screen for you. So the first part is about worshiping and honoring, glorifying God, acknowledging who he is. So when we spend time praying, if we need help praying, how do we start? Let's start by worshiping the Lord, acknowledging who he is. The next part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying for God's will, right? You're praying for God's will for your life. Or in other words, you're surrendering your own will. You're surrendering your own desires. You're surrendering your own will and asking God to let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? It's kind of a call back to the Eden, call back to the beginning, and call forward to what is still to come, a new heaven and a new earth. So that's part of surrendering. So first, acknowledge who God is. Second, surrender to him. Third, give us this day our daily bread, right? This is about provision. It's about our needs to be met. This is the time where you would pray for like prayer requests. Maybe you have a list of prayer requests that you keep on your phone or that you keep on a piece of paper. One thing I remember about my grandparents is, man, I would come to their house and on their refrigerator, they would have a piece of paper stuck to their refrigerator with a prayer list of all their friends and family and people that they knew that had asked them to pray for them, and they had a prayer list on their refrigerator that they would pray over, these requests that they would make of the Lord on a regular basis. Give us this day our daily bread. So spend time asking the Lord for what you need. He is the God who makes provision out of nothing. So this is the time where we ask him for that. Ask him for that provision. When there are things going on in our life that we need from him, we request him to do those things because he said he would. Verse 12 says, And forgive us of our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. This is about forgiveness and repentance. So this is a time for us to repent of our sin, right? Repent of things that are going on in our life that we need to get rid of, things that we need to turn around from, turn away from, and also a time to to extend forgiveness to those who have done us wrong. Because we don't want to carry that weight. We don't want to ingest that poison of carrying around bitterness of something that somebody else has done to us. So if we spend time praying this way regularly, we're asking God to forgive us, but also we're asking God to help us to forgive that person or that entity, maybe it's an organization that's done us wrong, that we would forgive them. Man, it brings freedom to our life. It brings freedom to us. And it helps us to live in God's presence and in his forgiveness. And then the last part of this prayer is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's about following God's leading. It's following where God is leading you, to be planted where God is placing you, to rule and to reign with him where he is and where you will be with him. And so here's a couple of quick prayer resources, a couple of apps and websites. We can put that up on the screen for them real quick. So pray.com, maybe one of the most popular prayer apps that's available out there for you. Echoprayer.com is another one of those prayer apps that may be helpful. The YouVersion Bible app that we talked about earlier for reading your Bible also has a place for you to put prayer requests and prayer lists on there as well. If you want a kind of all-in-one place, reading your Bible, prayer request place for you, that is, again, that's my favorite app for that type of stuff. And then, of course, The one that I use the most is the Notes app. The Notes app on my phone, I just pull that up and I keep all my prayer requests in my Notes app so I can go through there and pray. So you can make different notes for different prayer requests. Maybe you have a certain group of people that you meet with one day of the week. You can make a prayer list for them, and you can make a list for family, friends, whatever. You can use that tool of technology to your benefit. And then, of course, pen and paper. Just writing it down on a piece of paper or a pad, a notepad. The reason I like technology is I don't always have a notepad with me. But like 99% of the time, I do have my phone with me. And if I've got a few minutes where I'm sitting around waiting on somebody else, I can listen to the Bible Project podcast, or I can read through some scripture there. I can make a note. I can pray through some notes on my Notes app. And so I like to have that technology with me to help me to do this last point, to walk in God's presence and forgiveness. I'm going to ask the worship team to join us back on stage as we wrap up this morning. So many resources, so many tools that are available for us now more than ever, for us to be connected with God, to be connected with His Word, to be connected with one another. So much music out there today. I know we didn't really talk about music too much as a resource, because probably you know where to get music from, right? The radio, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your normal music from, you can probably get music that's going to glorify God, to worship Him at your house, to worship Him in your car with music. And again, worship is not just about music, right? It's about the way that we live our life, the way that we treat people, the way that we do our work. The Bible tells us to do our work as worship to the Lord. Because ultimately, the beginning where God created heaven and earth for us to live with Him and walk with Him and rule and reign with Him is the same way that it's going to end. It's the same way it's going to end. As we read through Revelation chapter 21, we see that God is going to bring a new heaven and a new earth for us to gather together, to live each day worshiping Him, living with one another, ruling and reigning with Him on a new heaven and a new earth. So this morning, as we jump into 2025, don't be afraid to take a reset. Maybe you need a reset on a regular basis. It doesn't have to just be at the beginning of the year. It doesn't have to just be at Passover. Maybe you need a reset every day. You know, the Bible tells us that God's mercy for us is new every morning. Every morning we have a chance to reset. And just to remember that God is the creator of new beginnings. He's the creator of new beginnings. And that maybe when you find yourself in tough situations, maybe you find yourself in a place in life where you don't know how you're going to get out of it, how you're going to get through it. Maybe you find yourself in a place of need. Just remember that God is the God who brings provision out of nothing. He doesn't need anything to bring you the things that you need. And He uses many different tools to do that. Sometimes He does it supernaturally in ways that we can't imagine. But many times, more often, He uses us. He uses you and uses me to bring that provision to someone else who's in need. He uses us to be part of His plan, because He's created us in His image to rule and to reign with Him. And part of that ruling and reigning is taking care of each other, fellowshipping together, and to lifting one another's burdens, to help make a way where there seems to be no way. In 2025, would you just agree with me to walk in God's presence and His forgiveness. Worship team's going to come and they're going to lead us in this song. And as they do, I think we're going to sing about making room, right? I want you to think about this year in 2025. How can you make room? How can you make room for more of His presence? How can you make room to share His presence with other people? Maybe this morning you're in the room and you need a restart. You need somebody to pray with you about some things that you've got going on, already going into 2025. I want to ask our prayer team to join me at the front, and I'll be down here to pray with you. Maybe as we start 2025, you just want to pray about the new year, praying about a new start. Maybe you need a healing in your body in 2025. Maybe you've got something financial going on and you need the Lord's provision in 2025. Maybe there's a situation in a relationship with a friend or a family member that you need the Lord to help work that thing out. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you about. We're here to pray with you as the worship team leads us. Would you come? Would you come and pray?
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.